Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 14th day of December, 2023. We are drawing ever closer to the whenever it is date that the entire thing comes apart and people begin to figure it out. But in any case, we had yet another clue this morning. This piece came from the Daily Mail about a bigot in Boston, where the mayor held a segregated holiday party for, quote, electeds of color on Wednesday night and defended the gathering after invitations were emailed to all 13 members of the city council, some of whom were white. Uh-oh, and you hunkies aren't invited. They were rescinded 15 minutes later. Michelle Wu on Wednesday afternoon, shortly before the party, was asked if she thought the gathering was divisive, and she replied, no. No, folks, it's not. It's just in-your-face bigoted. And we don't give a damn whether or not you honkies or other people who are not of color know that racism is not perfectly acceptable in America as long as it's against, you know, the right kind of people. Why do I mention this? It's not that there haven't been racists and bigots throughout this country's history, or throughout most of the world's history, for that matter. It's just that in America 2023, under the Biden Führer, it's not only acceptable, it's downright politically correct to shove it in people's faces, and then turn right around and virtue signal about how tolerant you are. What a crock. What an unmitigated crock. And people wonder why it is that they're pushing so hard to divide and destroy a country, and seem to be getting some traction. And this is kind of telling. Daily Mail actually does get around to admitting that while they apologize that the subhumans got an invitation, we're so sorry we're rubbing it in your face. Well, not really, because, says the piece, there was no apology for actually planning to host a racially segregated party. Of course not. But you know, don't you, that if the honkies that weren't invited went out and had their own party instead, it'd be front page news on every waste-free media outlet in the country, and you'd be hearing about it 24/7 on the various criminally negligent networks. Oh yeah, and the people involved would probably have all already lost their jobs. From there we go to a warning in an entirely different field, but certainly pointed in the very same direction. From Hal Turner's radio show, concerning one of the largest corporate giants in the country, Schneider Electric, which is the second largest manufacturer of electrical components in the world. The things they make, begins the piece, are absolutely crucial to our daily lives, whether you've seen the nameplate or not. Things like industrial automation, programmable logic controllers or PLCs, crucial electrical infrastructure, and so on. And without any warning, Schneider has now announced to their partners in the U.S. a 20-week delay. That's almost half a year for what are called ETO, or engineer-to-order products, for the first quarter of 2024. And says the summary here, ETO projects include things like major private and public infrastructure, power grids, and so forth. And power grids and other things that need these parts are not readily able to deal with the kind of manufacturing delay. Even more ominous, it said, this ETO equipment is the very same gear that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, aren't they good at it? And that may be the only thing they're good at, recently issued warnings over because of, they've been telegraphing this move for quite a while now, cyber attacks. So, bottom line, the FBI is warning about cyber attacks targeting ETO gear like PLCs, and just now, the second largest manufacturer of these exact same components has announced a 20-week delay starting in the first quarter. Said one industry insider, the reason this is so weird is because this company is very good at planning. They supply billions of dollars in critical components. Maybe they're not perfect, but they usually have a plan when they announce something like this. Not this time. The plans behind the announcement and the letter, which the article includes, are very shallow. They got the note out of the way before anyone on their team even knew what was going on. So there are lots of questions, but no answers. And that, said the insider here, is very weird. And as I read the letter, folks, I can't help but think this is exactly the kind of thing you get in a command economy where people can't really plan because who knows what Big Brother's going to do. Big Brother certainly may not tell you in advance because it's usually driven by politics, but in the case of the regime today, it's increasingly obvious it's driven by a desire to destroy. The letter says in part that order intake has exceeded industry expectations and material availability. And here I have to interject something that should have been obvious to everybody for quite a while now. We know that part of the problem is, if stuff you need is controlled by China, it might end up being difficult to obtain. The pressure, they say, is driven largely by growth in several U.S. market segments, such as semiconductors and, ready, electric vehicles, battery infrastructure, vehicle manufacturing. Isn't it ironic? They're mandating that you have to buy these things, and even though nobody wants them, they're stacking up on lots, there's still some kind of an order backlog and growth in a market segment where the growth really isn't actual, it's just mandated. Back to the letter here. These segments require domestic and global raw materials such as resin, plastics, specialty metals, you know what that means, rare earths and similar things that just plain aren't available in the United States for the most part, and they're also needed in the electrical equipment industry. U.S. domestic investments in infrastructure projects, things like water, utility, and airports, and geopolitical tensions, yeah, they're jonesing for world war and they're managing to get it, are additional pressures on supply, says the letter, impacting the reliability of upstream supply and shipment schedules. So, starting December 7th, current shipment schedules of engineer-to-order products will be revised, moving existing first quarter ship dates out. And we're doing this to level set production across several plants due to high demand and persistent supply chain challenges. Any of this sound familiar? We anticipate a delay of up to 20 weeks for several of our product lines. And this is telling, too, given the continued uncertainty of the external environment. Yeah, good grief. Well, there you go. I guess that outlines the problem, folks. It's kind of tough to plan. If you're an actual for-profit, free enterprise-oriented business, in a country where graft corruption and, of course, the inevitable connection, politics, is the real driver rather than things like profit motive and meeting actual customer needs and expectations. This is why command economies fail. And obviously, that's especially true when the command is destroy yourselves. Speaking of which, let's turn next right to the primary instrument of the fiat money control mechanism and meltdown. The Federal Reserve and Zero Hedge asked a poignant question after their headline. Did Powell, the chairman thereof, get a Biden-esque tap on the shoulder? Powell has pivoted, they say, and sent the Dow to record highs. Oh, isn't that convenient? Right before the election year with, what else, an election year rate cut projection. After announcing for oh so long they were going to just basically destroy the economy, tighten the screws until everything broke, must be time. Says the summary they begin with by Nick Timiraos, the Powell pivot has begun. On December 1, he said, quote, it would be premature to speculate on when policy might ease, but on December 13th, rate cuts, he said, are something that, quote, begins to come into view and is, quote, clearly a topic of discussion. Yep, says just about everybody, what a difference 2 weeks can make. And the Dow immediately, no doubt as intended, hit a new record high rather than collapsing. But, says Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, it was still a bloodbath for the hedge funds, the worst day for the hedgies since June 2021. And ironically, Fed Chair Powell said absolutely nothing, they note, about the massive easing of financial conditions, the alleged tightening of which was supposed to be the reason why they paused back at the September meeting. And then they pivoted to a major rate cut trajectory just in time for the election year of 2024. And asked about the obvious, Powell explained, quote, we don't think about political events. We just can't do that.
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. By the way, there's a companion piece here entitled, The Fed No Longer Cares Just How Easy the Market Is. A stunned Wall Street, it says, reacts to Powell's jarring pivot. Concludes the piece, the market is now pricing in a 75% chance of the first rate cut by the Fed in March. Guess how long they're going to keep cutting, folks? Yeah. From there, let's turn next to a sequence of stories that I will suggest make a pretty compelling case for the fact that whether or not the average American has awakened to the impending dollar meltdown and fiat currency reset, at least they're starting to figure out that they're being lied to on so many other fronts. And sometimes the waystream press is even now coming out and admitting it. Let's start with a story that makes that point, again from the Daily Mail in the UK, which has a headline that says, shocking moment, and if you want to see the pictures, they're good at that, shocking moment that thousands of migrants, some would say illegal invaders, line the train tracks in Mexico, just 3 hours from the southern border, at least what was once the southern border, of the United States, as the CBP, that used to be Customs and Border Patrol, I'm not sure what it stands for now, buckled under the huge surge in numbers. Yep, 10,000, 12,000 a day is no longer even unusual of invaders coming across that non-existent border. Says the piece, the influx is so big that it's caused a crunch for Border Patrol agents across Texas and led Lukeville, Arizona border officials to essentially shut down the legitimate port of entry into town to traffic there. And many, therefore, who try to traverse the border legitimately said, what the hell? Why bother? They're not paying any attention anyway. So they're considering the illegal crossing because it's easier instead of waiting in a line for 8 hours. Said Robin Miller, an Arizona citizen who lives nearby, there are so many people that are upset seeing all these 10,000 illegals coming in a single day that they're coming through a hole in the wall that the cartel cut instead. Because evidently a trip that used to take 30 minutes to an hour now takes 6 or 8 hours instead. And who knows, folks, maybe they'll manage to score a free Visa gift card or Obama phone as a bonus. Here's a story that's not getting much U.S. press, but at least the waste stream in much of the rest of the world is waking up to it. In this country, it's InfoWars reporter Greg Reese who's been carrying the flag, and that explains why they want Alex Jones shut down, folks. Italy's top health official, sick, is under criminal investigation. It's about time, and at least one country in the whole world is starting to wake up to it, for mass murder as a result of his criminal actions during the pandemic that allegedly resulted in the nation's soaring COVID vaccine-related death totals. Roberto Speranza served as the Italian health minister. I keep having to say sick after that because it is sick, folks, that people like this are allowed in positions of public responsibility. Between September 2019 and October 2022, overseeing the pandemic and the COVID vaccine death jab rollout. Evidence has now emerged, gee, do you think, to suggest that Speranza knew, or at least should have known, that the COVID Zyklon B shots were dangerous to public health, but he concealed that information and pushed the national rollout anyway. You've heard the expression, cross my palm with silver. And evidently, not only did he know the shots were killing people, but he gave orders to local health authorities to conceal the deaths and the serious side effects and continue to perpetrate the biggest mass murder in human history. Co-conspirator Niccolo Magrini, the head of the so-called IAFA, an Italian or Italian Medicines Agency, is also under investigation. Among other crimes against humanity, they bragged at one point that by having made vaccinations almost mandatory for a lot of people, they got almost 90% of the Italian people duped, and the death rates reflect that. In addition to the obvious crime of mass murder, one of the other crimes the Italian government is considering is ideological falsehood, which is kind of clever, certainly fits. And maybe other nations in the world will begin to follow suit. Last week, the House of Representatives in the Philippines passed a resolution to investigate over 260,000 unexplained excess deaths there in 2021 and another 67,000 in 2022. The next day, though, they were hit with a 7.6 magnitude earthquake, so maybe somebody's trying to send a message. And finally, we go to this piece, too. I'll call it a related story. Comes from newsaddicts.com out of Great Britain. Well, no longer Great Britain. The UK, where they keep publishing official statistics, and people keep looking at it and saying, hey, did you guys realize what you're admitting here? New data published by the UK government, it says, has revealed more than 1 million COVID mRNA vaccinated citizens have died suddenly in just the past year. And over the past 2 years, as you might have guessed, excess deaths in England have certainly soared. And guess what? These sudden and unexpected deaths, who could have thought it, occur almost exclusively among those that are fully vaccinated with the Zyklon B for the Fauci flu. New government data shows that 1 million fully poison-poke people in England have died since the start of 2022, whereas among those that didn't fall for the Zyklon B injection, only 61,000 have kicked the bucket. And remember, there's at least 3 times more people that did fall for the Zyklon B injection than didn't. But 1 million compared to only 61,000 is way, way out of proportion, isn't it? If you do a little bit of statistics, folks, this is downright incredible. No, I guess it's fair to say it does not, did not, could not ever happen by accident. And this related bit of information is also helpful. In just under the first half of this year, 2023, the vaccinated population of England accounted for 95% of all deaths attributed to COVID. Huh. Admittedly, it does kind of make you wonder if it might be something in addition to COVID that was really killing people. But remember, just don't talk about it on socialist media if you're a subject of the king. And don't expect the Supreme Court to protect either your life or your liberty in the once-free United States. On December the 11th, says a piece from Zachary Stiber via the Epoch Times, they threw out 3 cases involving federal COVID-19 84 Cyclone B vaccine mandates, handing a win to the Biden cure and the regime. In unsigned rulings, and you can guess why, the justices, sick, said that the rulings against mandates imposed by the fake president and the U.S. military before it was destroyed have been vacated anyway. They also remanded the cases back to lower courts with instructions for the courts to vacate preliminary injunctions that had been in place against the administration because they were now moot. Even though those rulings might or might not still act as precedents in future vaccine mandate cases. Said Marcus Thornton about the rulings, president of Feds for Freedom, in a statement, "We believe the United States Constitution clearly does not permit the FedGov to force federal workers, or for that matter any law-abiding citizen, to inject their bodies with something against their will. In fact, the freedom to control your own body and your own medical information is so basic that without those liberties, it's impossible to be truly free at all," he said, "and we're disappointed that the Supreme Court dodged these important constitutional arguments and instead just chose to vacate our case on technicalities." Lawyers from members of the military who suffered from the mandates one way or another noted that the Congress forced the military to rescind that anti-constitutional mandate, but that the legislation didn't prevent the Department of Defense, SIC, from going ahead and just doing it all over again and issuing yet another mandate. Government lawyers said the mandates were rescinded, not because they were challenged, but because the pandemic situation had changed. So see, we can do it all over again, and what are you going to do to stop us next time? Anyway, slice it, looks like they got away with it. And besides which, if it's moot anyway, well, we certainly can't expect to be punished for all the evil that we did now, can we? Har-dee-har. Here's another one the waste stream just can't get over. Donald Trump, can you imagine this, is still upset about he and the American people being defrauded in the 2020 election. And I think being prosecuted after the fact, Stalin and Communist Chinese Party style, doesn't sit well with him either. And he got yet more ammo in a recent Heartland Rasmussen poll released December 12th, which suggests concerning, you think, levels of voter fraud in that utterly purloined election in 2020, bolstering his longstanding claim, says a piece from the Epoch Times via Tom Osamek this time, that he was cheated out of a victory amid an explosion in mail-in ballots, among a whole bunch of other types of fraud, combined with state-level moves by the courts that made it easier to cheat. Matter of fact, pretty much encouraged cheating. And he's now issued a call for action to his fellow Republicans over what he called the biggest story of the year, which showed that almost 20% of mail-in voters admitted outright to committing at least one kind of voter fraud in that election. The new survey shows 17% of mail-in voters admitting to voting in a state where they're no longer permanent residents, 21% of them filled out ballots for other people, 17% of them signed ballots for family members without their consent, and 8% reported that they had offers of either pay or a reward of some kind, think Kamala Harris, for their vote. What's more, fully 10% of all the respondents to the survey said they know of a friend, family member, or co-worker, or other acquaintance who admitted to casting a fraudulent mail-in ballot. Don't forget, folks, over 43% of the so-called votes in 2020 were cast by mail, the highest percentage in U.S. history, and clearly the most fraudulent election in U.S. history by far. And that's actually saying quite a bit. In order to wrap things up today, I'm going to take a look at the theme that I started with and kind of harken back to May of this year for a piece that, well, really summarizes what is still on the near horizon. Meanwhile, folks, regardless of where we happen to be along the timeline, one way or another, we're certainly watching the final destruction and meltdown of the almighty fiat U.S. dollar. No currency in human history that is fully fiat has ever survived for long. The United States dollar, since August 15th or so of 1971, has been fully fiat. It's one of the longest in the tooth, and it's not going to last forever. Probably not too much longer, but hey, will the current default threat do it? Maybe come June 1st or so? Or will they kick the can down the road? And will so-called investors and people worldwide be duped one more time? Well, your guess is as good as mine. The only thing we know for sure is, eventually, even the most stupid of the stupid will wake up and realize they've been had. And remember how Hemingway put it. How'd you go bankrupt? Well, slowly at first, and then all of a sudden. So, when all of a sudden gets here, you can rest assured it'll probably be too late. Still, it's the level of corruption on literally every front you can name, which should have gotten people's attention long before now. And that leads me to some interesting observations from Bruce Wiles via the Advancing Time blog, also picked up by Zero Hedge, entitled, You're Not Alone. Anger is building across the world.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
And as it turns out, he wants everyone to go to the window and yell something. Remember?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And you can probably guess that's a clip I've played before and kind of like to play again to illustrate that. Still, says the author, you're not alone if you're tired of watching your government. No, folks, it's not our government. He may call it his. I certainly don't participate in that ruse anymore. Whatever government it is that Big Brother has gotten in place of the constitutional republic that the Constitution once guaranteed, even those that were told that they had a democracy have probably figured it out by now. Still, people aren't alone, he says, if you've gotten tired of watching whatever government that is grow increasingly oppressive and corrupt. Many people across the world share our pain. People continue to voice their anger and discontent. However, this is something the media often chooses not to report because it's owned by those same forces that are attempting to enslave us. Hey, that's a shocker. And he notes that people on the left like to call anybody with which they disagree Nazi or fascist, while those on the right prefer the term communist. Truth is, they're tyrants all, and there isn't much difference between the so-called far left and far right. So far as their economic theorists like Marx or Engels or Adolf are concerned, the only real difference is who actually owns the means of production and the corporations, not who runs them. Bottom line, both groups are rooted in the same desire to expand control by any means necessary. The truth is that the angst and growing anger many people feel has been kept under control by mass media with a very strong and increasingly transparent agenda. Mass media has perfected the art of dividing the people and at the same time keeping all of us, he notes, in the dark. The greatest risk we face may be that artificial intelligence is coming fast and furious, or in fact may already be here. We're certainly seeing at least some of the evil effects of that. Once it's here, though, getting actual information will become almost impossible. In other words, you can count on the deception being even more complete. Yes, he continues, people are getting angrier, and as they've demonstrated, they can take away your freedom. There are simply too many things happening, though, for the bulk of society to stay focused for long on any one issue. Whether we're talking about corruption in the most corrupt, or at least one of the top two or three most corrupt places on planet Earth, Ukraine in this case, and how American money is being diverted or squandered by the billions there, rather than being spent on anything that might be a lot more useful, whether it's defending the southern border or rebuilding infrastructure that's being deliberately destroyed. Sometimes the subject is more one of values or direction, like what to do with something like the Biden crime family or a justice system that turns a blind eye to their incredible, unbelievable, and absolutely un-American transgressions. And now we have the just-released report from Special Counsel John Durham, an investigation that took 3+ years and concluded the obvious, that the FBI should have never launched the Trump-Russia-Russia-Russia collusion probe to begin with. But by doing so, the American public was scammed by forces, at least allegedly, inside our government. There's that term again. This was an act, though, that interfered in the 2016 election in an attempt to keep Trump from getting elected. Once he was elected by a landslide that was even bigger than they could handle, then they decided to keep him from actually being able to govern. And once they got away with that, the same people have continued to poison, control, undermine, and ultimately destroy the presidency. All of which dovetails with the piece Tucker Carlson did, claiming unseen footage from January 6, 2021. And that Capitol protest, all of which revealed that the entire Democrat rhino waste stream media narrative underpinning the peaceful protest that they somehow called a riot was a complete lie. Surveillance footage Tucker Carlson presented showed Capitol Police calmly escorting the so-called QAnon shaman, Jacob Chansley, throughout the Capitol complex. They even helped him open doors. Carlson said, quote, they helped him. They acted as his tour guides. And all of that is far different from the narrative flowing from the waste stream media. Since then, Chansley was sentenced to 41 months in the federal gulag for, quote, obstructing an official proceeding. Yeah, arguably a successful coup. The calendar year is now coming to a close, and as you can see, the successful coup is still proceeding along the same path that they have been, and so many things that have been coming to a head seem to finally have almost arrived. So we'll see what the new year brings. But I guess the bottom line remains, folks, pay attention. Do not be caught unawares. Don't be duped, because there's a whole lot of that in plan. And above all, of course, make sure that you know who you serve, because you can't serve two masters. And it's really clear that the second one, the satanic one, intends to force you. Don't fall for it. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.